There are three main ways that you can improve or increase the amount of home that you can qualify for when you're looking to purchase a home. One is by increasing your income, two, decreasing your debt, and three, improving your credit score. Now, I'm gonna go through all three of these. They're in no particular order, but I'm gonna go through them in this order. And I'm gonna talk about income and debt a little bit together because those do affect each other. They're kind of on the opposite ends of the spectrum, but the pull and tug relationship that income and debt have do weigh heavily on how much home you can qualify for. So starting off with income, yes, how much money you make does affect how much home you can qualify for. So if you make $100,000 a year, ideally, or in theory at least, you can qualify for more home than someone who makes $80,000 a year. Now, that's not 100% factual in every case because of debt. When you look at debt, it is something that we have to subtract from the income that you make to determine how much home you can actually qualify for. So let's say that you make $100,000 a year and you have, I don't know, out of that, let's say $50,000 of that is debt. And we'll start over, first of all, and say that income is really done monthly. It's not done bi-yearly when it comes to the mortgage industry. So let's say we'll do it on a monthly basis. If each month you're making, let's say $10,000 a month, that's $120,000 a year. So if you make $10,000 a month, and out of that 10,000, you've got to use 5,000 of it to pay off debt. Well, that's half your income. So that's a 50% debt to income ratio. So if you're using up that much of your money to pay off debt before we add the mortgage payment onto it, it's going to be really hard for you to be able to qualify to purchase a home. On the flip side, someone who might make, let's say, $3,000 a month or $4,000 a month, but they don't have any debt. Well, now we can utilize half of their monthly income or close to half of their monthly income to be able to qualify them for a mortgage. And that would actually allow them to be able to qualify for something that someone who makes more money cannot qualify for. So again, when we're looking at income and debt from a mortgage perspective, we do it on a month-by-month basis, but also we have to look at these things together. Another thing is, depending upon the loan program that you're utilizing, will also depend upon what that debt to income ratio needs to be. For example, with FHA loans, these loans have the more lenient qualifying requirements, meaning that if you have great credit, and we'll get into credit a little bit later, it's possible that you could go above 50% of your income to qualify for a home. You might be able to go up to 55 or 56% of your income to be able to qualify for a home under an FHA loan. Whereas with a conventional mortgage, you literally are stopped at that 50% mark. And so these are some of the things that you need to keep in mind with as well when it comes to income. Also, not all income is viewed equally. And by that, I mean, if you have W-2 income and you are paid salary, that is a very stable form of income. You know what you're going to get every single month because you're paid salary. And so we can take whatever your salary is, that the gross of your salary every month, and that's what we can utilize as your income. And then we subtract the debts, which are your credit cards, student loans, car payment, any personal loans that you might have that are reflect on your credit card. However, if you are a, let's say, W-2 income, but you work hourly, well, now we have to do a little bit more calculation with that. So we have to determine what the average number of hours is that you work every week. Now, if you work 40 hours every week, then we can just take however much you're paid every hour, multiply that by 40 hours a week, and then we can know how much you make every week in income. But maybe you work overtime every week. Now we have to calculate that overtime, but you have to have a history of that overtime over the last 2 years in order for us to be able to calculate that overtime. And so now we're looking at, what did you make in overtime over the last year and then over the year before that, and averaging that out to see what we can calculate for your overtime that you make. Maybe you get a bonus. We have to average out that bonus. We can't just take a bonus that you received one time in 1 year and say, okay, yep, that gets added to your income, we have to average out. Do you get bonuses frequently every quarter, or do you get them, you know, once a year at the end of every year, but it's something that happens with all of your paychecks? We have to look at all of that when it comes to the type of income as well that you get. So that's W-2 if you've worked salary, and then W-2 if you've worked hourly. But what if you're 1099? Well, if you're 1099, an independent contractor, such as like a real estate agent or someone else who does contractor work, and they get paid via 1099, then those are looked at very similar to someone who is self-employed. So we need to get 2 years of tax returns when you are a 1099. And I'll go ahead and say when you're self-employed as well, because again, 1099 and self-employed are viewed very much the same way in most cases. And so we have to get 2 years of those tax returns in order to determine what your gross monthly income is. However, we also have to do something different with the self-employed and the 1099 that we don't have to do with the W-2 employees, which is when we get those tax returns, now we need to look and see how much you are deducting for business expenses. Because when you're self-employed, we know some of that money that you might make has to go into actual business expenses. Maybe it's materials, maybe it's other people that you're hiring out, whatever it might be. We know some of that money has to go into other business expenses. And so because of that, we have to subtract that from your income. So maybe on your tax returns, it shows that you had $100,000 worth of income coming in for your self-employed business or your 1099. However, once we look at those tax returns, we might see that, hey, you had $40,000 worth of tax write-offs because of materials or because of business expenses. Maybe it was travel that you needed to take to go somewhere, or, you know, whatever other business expenses that you have. And so those business expenses have to get deducted from that income, and that reduces how much you can actually qualify for. So those are some of the differences. Again, we don't have to deduct business expenses per se when you have W-2 income and your paid salary. We can just take what you make in salary and we can utilize that for your income and then subtract the debts that are on your credit report. Very similar with W-2 when you're paid hourly. We just have to average out the average number of hours that you work every week and then use that number to determine how much we can use to qualify you for a mortgage. But when it comes to 1099 and self-employed individuals, we have to look at those tax returns. We need 2 years of tax returns, and we have to subtract any tax write-offs. And this is the point, or the issue, I guess I should say, that a lot of people have or run into when it comes to trying to purchase a home when they're self-employed, is that a lot of self-employed individuals have a lot of tax write-offs because they don't want to pay taxes. And so if you've got business expenses and you want to write those off, yeah, you don't want to pay taxes on money that you never actually saw because you had to write those things off. So they have a lot of tax write-offs, and that's fine when you're not looking to purchase a home. But when you are looking to purchase a home, the only income we can use as qualifiable income is the income that you didn't write off. So you might want to keep that in mind when it comes time to doing your taxes. Again, I'm not a tax advisor. You want to talk to a CPA. You can talk to a financial advisor to see what the best route or course of action is. But as a loan officer and as someone who does advise people on different routes to take when it comes to being able to qualify for a mortgage, I will say that you might want to consider how much you're actually going to write off in a particular year if you're looking to purchase a home. Because if you write off all of your income, then we don't have any income to utilize to qualify you. However, keep in mind that if you say, okay, I won't write off any income, so I have the most income possible that I can utilize to be able to purchase a home, the income that you show up on your tax returns, which is not written off, you will pay taxes on that. And that's the catch-22 that a lot of people have issue with, or a lot of people, you know, get caught up in, is they're like, okay, I have all these write-offs and I'm not claiming the income that I need to be able to purchase a home, so I won't write off anything, but now you're going to pay taxes. You're going to pay taxes on all of that money that you're now claiming that's not being written off. So those are some of the things that you really want to be cognizant of, be aware of when you're going to file taxes. But when you're just looking at income in general, is look at the type of employment that you have, because again, income is not all looked at the same for the self-employed or the W-2 or the 1099. So knowing what bracket you fall under and how we're going to look at that income is really going to help you when it comes to knowing what you need to do to give yourself the best shot at being able to qualify for the home that you're looking to purchase. So moving from income on into debt, I already talked about it a little bit because you can't really talk about income without at least mentioning some stuff about debt. But when it comes to debt, the debt that we utilize is the debt that shows up on your credit report. I'm talking your car note, your student loans, your credit cards. If you have any personal loans that you've taken, if you had another mortgage, all of that stuff is stuff that shows up on your credit report. Things such as your cell phone bill, your utilities, your Netflix internet bill, whatever. Those are bills. Those are not debts that show up on your credit report. If a cell phone does show up on your credit report, more than likely it's because it's a collection, meaning that you have not paid your cell phone bill for long enough to where now the cell phone company has put it as a collection on your credit card or on your credit report as something that needs to be paid. And when it shows up on your credit report in that way, it's a negative, meaning that it's hurting your credit score. We'll get into credit score in just a minute. But getting back to the debt, these are the debts that we are looking at. So when we have your income, let's go back to that $10,000 a month. And then we look at, okay, you've got a $700 a month car payment. So we subtract 700 from that. You got 300 that you pay every month in credit card bills. So we subtract 300 from that. You've got student loans that total $100,000 worth of student loans. So what we do, if you don't have a monthly payment listed for your student loans, we have to calculate a percentage of the balance that you owe as what your monthly payment would be if you were paying on those. So if you have a monthly payment listed for your student loans, you're actively paying on those, then we just go based off of the monthly payment that you have. But if you're not, maybe your loans are in deferment, as many people's loans have been in deferment throughout the pandemic and everything, then in those instances, we take generally a half of a percent of the outstanding balance and utilize that for your monthly payment. So for example, let's say that you have $100,000 in student loans, a half of a percent of that $100,000 is $500. So we would say that your student loan payment is $500 a month. So we got a $700 for your car. We got $300 in credit cards. We've got a $500 payment for student loans. So we're at $1,500 that we have to subtract from your income. So that leaves us with $8,500 left. Now, again, we can only use half of your monthly income. Generally, that's a good starting point, because again, with FHA, it's possible you could go up a little bit higher than that, but a good rule of thumb is to just start at that half of your monthly income. Now, that's not half, or excuse me, what we subtract is not being subtracted from the total. What we subtract is going to be subtracted from the half that we can use. Because we can't use the total, we can only use the half. And that's something that's good to know as well. So again, you make that $10,000 a month, half of that is $5,000. So we're subtracting $1,500 from that $5,000. So that leaves us with $3,500 that we can utilize to be able to qualify you for that mortgage. So again, we've got that $700 for the car payment, $300 for your credit cards, that $500 a month payment that we calculated for the student loans. That leaves us with $1,500 total that we can utilize, that we have to subtract from your income, rather. And so that leaves us with $3,500 left for what we can qualify you for a mortgage. And you can get a decent home for $3,500. But what if that's not the only debt that you have? What if you have collections? Now, collections are debt as well. So if you have a collection and you're not paying on that collection and there's no payment listed in that collection, then now we have to calculate 5% of the balance of that collection as what your monthly payment would be. So let's say you have a collection that's $10,000, or you have total of $10,000 worth of collections. We have to take 5% of that, and that's what we would utilize for what your monthly payment would be. So I guess whatever the math of that $10,000 would be, you can do the math to figure out that's what we would have to also subtract from that $3,500 that we have remaining. And then what's left after that is what we can use to qualify you for a mortgage. So again, if you've got, actually, I'll just do the math really quick. So let's see, 10% would be 1,000, 5% would be 500. So $500 out of a $10,000 collection is what we would also have to subtract from that $3,500, which will leave us with $3,000. So you can see how this can quickly add up. $100,000 worth of student loans gets you the same $500 as 5% of a $10,000 collection. So you can see how this can quickly add up if you have collections or a lot of debt that's racking up that shows up on your credit report. So now we're looking at $500 collections, 500 student loans, 700 for a car payment, 300 for credit cards. And that brings our 5,000 that we could use down to $3,000 now. And so now we're looking at $3,000 that we can use to qualify you for a mortgage. Now that $3,000 includes everything with your monthly mortgage payment, which is the principal, interest, taxes, insurance, and any homeowners association fees that are owed for whatever home you are looking to purchase, if you're looking to purchase a home that falls within a homeowners association. So this is some of the things that you need to be aware of when it comes to debt, is that debt can drastically reduce how much you qualify for. Now, again, you saw how our debt took $2,000 away out of the $5,000, which is half of the $10,000. It took $2,000 away out of the $5,000 that we could have utilized to qualify for a mortgage. What if you don't make $10,000 a month? What if you make $6,000 a month? Half of that $6,000 is $3,000. And if we have to subtract $2,000 away from that $3,000, that only leaves you with $1,000 to be able to qualify for a mortgage. And if you have not been in the housing market lately or don't know much about how much average mortgage payments are, they are well above $1,000, which means you very well might not qualify for a home at all if you have that much debt. If you've got that car payment and those credit cards and those student loans and collections, and you don't make enough money to compensate for that or anything, that may very well put you in a situation where you don't qualify to be able to purchase a home. So you really do want to be aware of the debt that you carry. And when it comes to collections, as you saw, a $10,000 collection at 5% cost you just as much in a monthly payment as a $100,000 student loan that we have to calculate a half of a percent for. So the way that you can avoid having things go into collection is by paying all of your bills on time. That is the biggest thing that you can do to make sure that what you are, the amount that we have to calculate for debt is as little as possible. Make sure that you pay all your bills on time, because that's going to help you with your credit score, but it's also going to help you avoid having those extra penalties for these items that you have in collection as well. So speaking of paying all your bills on time, that will move us into the third aspect of how you can improve your purchase price, which is credit. The number one thing that you can do to improve your credit is paying all of your bills on time. That is the best thing that you can do to help yourself. So the FICO credit score, or the FICO scoring model, is what the overwhelming majority of the mortgage industry uses when it comes to qualifying you for a mortgage. And the biggest part that forms your FICO credit score is payment history. 35% of your FICO credit score is payment history, just your ability to pay bills on time. And that's followed by the balance, how much credit you actually have on your debt. So for example, let's say you have a credit card with a $10,000 limit, and you max it out to $10,000. That's gonna hurt you a lot more than if you had that credit card paid down to $1,000 or less. Because that's going to help you a lot more. So when it comes to credit, there are some tricks and things that you can do to help improve your credit. I won't go into all of that right now, because there's a lot of stuff, and a lot of it is also contingent upon each individual situation in terms of what you need to do to be able to improve your credit to the point to where you can purchase. It depends upon what your debt is looking like, your debt ratio is looking like on those credit cards, but also how long you've had that debt. That's another thing that gets factored into your FICO score, is length of credit history. So there's a few things that are factored into there, as well as the mix of credit that you have. If you've got all credit cards and nothing else, or if you have an installment loan in addition to a revolving loan, revolving being your credit cards or things that you can charge up, pay down and charge up again. You know, do you have a mix of credit, or is it all just one type of credit? So these are things that all affect your credit score. So I won't get all into the nuts and bolts of what you need to do to improve your credit. However, I will say that the way that it affects how much home you can qualify for is by showing the lender how well you are, or how good you are at being able to pay off debt or pay debt on time. So for example, let's say that you have two individuals and each of these individuals are at a 50% debt to income ratio with all of the debt they have and the proposed monthly mortgage payment that they will be paying for the house that they're looking to buy. So with all their debt and the proposed monthly mortgage payment, they're at a 50% debt to income ratio. All things being equal, let's say that individual A has a 700 credit score and individual B has a 590. Now, 590 will still get you above the qualifying mark for an FHA. However, it's possible that the individual with the 590 doesn't qualify, because depending upon all the other factors involved in individual with the 590's credit profile, they might not be able to get approved, at least not through automated approval. It might be that they have to switch to a manual approval. And if you go to a manual approval, now individual B can't get a loan, because a manual approval for an FHA won't let you go up to a 50% debt to income ratio. So these are some of the things that you've got to be cognizant of, because again, individual A, if they've got that 700 credit score, they're able to get approved. While there's individual B with that 590 or even that 600 or maybe that 620, maybe they're not able to get that automated approval, which means they have to switch to a manual approval, which means now they don't qualify for the same price home that's got them at a 50% debt to income ratio. They have to go for a lesser home that can lower their debt to income ratio to where now they're in standards to where they can get a manual underwrite. And so these are some of the things of how credit really does influence how much you can qualify for. Again, it might not influence directly in how much money you have or how much debt you're paying, but it shows the lender your ability to be able to take on debt and make the payments on time. And the higher your credit score is, it's that snapshot in time that just shows a lender, you know what? I have an ability to be able to take on debt. And you can see from my credit report, I don't have any missed payments. I don't have any delinquent amounts or any past due amounts. I don't have any collections. I've got great credit. So that lender knows that, hey, if they're loaning you hundreds of thousands of dollars to be able to purchase a home, there's a really good possibility that you're going to be making on-time payments to pay that loan back, because your credit score is good, which shows that you have an ability to be able to pay off debt on time. Whereas, so they're more likely to want to loan you perhaps at a higher level. Again, with that FHA loan, you've got great credit. Maybe you can go above that 50% to get to that 55 or that 56% of your income that you can utilize because you have great credit. But if you're sitting at that 580, that 590, maybe even that 600, depending upon what's on that credit report, you might not even be able to qualify for the 50% debt to income ratio. You might not even qualify to use half your monthly income to qualify for a mortgage, because again, with your credit looking a little shaky, that's something that might have a lender skeptical or hesitant to want to lend hundreds of thousands of dollars if they're looking on your credit report and is showing collection, charge off, past due amount, late payment here. Those are some things that are going to help sway things against you. It's not going to help you or play for you in that regard. So those are three things I wanted to talk about in this podcast episode. You've got your income, your debt, and your credit score. Those are the three things that can really affect how much home you qualify for. Not just making more income, but keeping that debt low. And on top of that, making sure you have a great credit score, because you could have high income and low debt, but if you have horrible credit, that shows that you're not good with paying debt on time. Even though you don't have high debt, your debt may be low, but if you have low credit, that can still hurt you or lower how much you can actually qualify for as well. So thank you for tuning in. Subscribe. I really do appreciate you taking the time to listen to this podcast and helping me to get this out to more people by subscribing, liking, commenting below. Let me know what you think. And if there's something else that you would like to hear on these podcasts as well, because I'm all about trying to provide more value to you to help educate you and put you on a better path forward to being more stable and more strong financially. So that's all I have for you. Subscribe, Greatest Asset Community on YouTube. Check me out on Instagram and TikTok as well. Assuming TikTok is still around. I know there's a bill passed around in the House right now to ban TikTok, which if they do, you know what? We're going to keep it rolling on whatever platforms we have available to us. So that's not going to affect me either here or there. But in any case, GA Loan Officer on TikTok and Instagram. That's where you can find me. But I would also love it if you found me on YouTube. That's where pretty much all of my content lives. And actually, a lot of the content that you will not find on Instagram and TikTok, you will find on YouTube. So go to Greatest Asset Community on YouTube and you can find me there. So again, thank you for taking the time to tune in and listen. Look forward to seeing you in the next one. Take care. Be blessed.